too far back. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we, were enemies, were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." I said verse 11, I'll read verse 12 too, because I want to use it probably. Whereas by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law was in the world, but sin was not imputed, there is no law. And then I wanted to go over to verse 18. It goes along with that. It says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." And so I wanted to share that. It'll come up probably here in the message here in one of the points. But I want you to focus on the two words in verses 6 through 11, in verse 9 and in verse 10. The Bible uses this word much more. It uses it two times, much more. It's the much more of salvation, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for the testimonies that we heard, Lord, for you working in a powerful way. There yesterday, we're asking for the same today. Lord, I pray as again that you speak to our hearts here this morning. Use me, Lord, help me with my mind being clear, and Lord, just speak through me. Use me, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see much more, and I wanted to talk about that today. And, for a lot of people, listen, salvation, I spoke a little bit. I probably preached half the message in Sunday school hour because just came up. But for a lot of people, salvation, and that's a glorious thing. Listen, being saved, that's a glorious thing. It's a powerful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But it's just salvation itself is really a comparatively shallow experience compared to everything that God wants us to have because of our salvation. That's why he said much more. He said there's much more. And so a lot of us don't experience or don't know about the much more aspect. And, of course, experiencing things, it does have to do with knowledge or knowing. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so, that's how we need to know it. We need to know those things. Not only do we need to know it, though, there's after knowledge, then there comes the application or the practical things in life where we apply that to our life. So we see two things else showed up that says that we are reconciled by Jesus' death, and then it says that we were saved by Jesus' life. And I'll get on that. That's the point I really want to get to, but I got to get through the death part first. So in verse 9, it said, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And then we know that there's condemnation. I think back up here in John, I had wrote a couple things, an old familiar verse for us, marked it down here, and I want to read ahead of you a little bit. It said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world," we all know this one, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then it says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Said might be, didn't say would be, but might be saved. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So what did he say? Why were they condemned? Because they did not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why it said that they were condemned. And so we see that there's a condemnation, that there's a punishment, there's the wrath of God, and we know that sin separated us from God. Adam's sin, his whole nature, we received all that. And then it went on and it talked about an Old Testament verse, comes out of Numbers in John 3:14, about this serpent. When You know what the people did? They started complaining about everything that God had done for them. They complained about the water. They complained about eating manna every day. They started complaining. You know what complaining against God is? Complaining against God is sin. I mean, that's a sin. They were complaining. So what God did, the Bible says he sent these fiery serpents. And apparently they were poisonous fiery serpents, because if they bit you, you die. And boy, I've been a nervous wreck, man, turning over a pot or something around there. But it said that many people died. Well, the people went back to Moses and they cried out and they said, Moses, go talk to God. I'm just paraphrasing for you. Go talk to God about this for us, because, you know, these the serpents, you know, we are being killed. And so God told Moses, he said, all right, make a brazen fiery serpent. He said, put it on a pole, stick it out there in the middle of the camp. That whosoever was bitten, if they got bitten, they could look on that pole and they would live. And, you know, there's a picture of salvation there. It's a picture of the pole was in the middle of the camp. It could be seen by everybody. Who could look at the pole? Everybody. It doesn't say. I was reading it. I read over there in Numbers the other day. I just wanted to see what it said about it. I was trying to go on my memory. And it said that, you know, many had died. And then it said many were saved when they got bit. I don't know that everybody got bit, although it is kind of a picture of sin. It's a type of sin, so everybody might have got bit, that they got bit by the serpent. And, you know, nothing they could do about it. It was going to kill them. It's the same thing sin does to you and I. So we see the much more of death. There's no way around that. But I got to thinking. I said, I wonder if somebody got bit and was just so hard-headed. I used to preach it this way, but I'm not sure it's right. If they were so hard-headed, they say, I'm just not going to look. Hey, look, brother, everybody that looks lives. Why don't you look? I ain't going to look. It doesn't say that. It just said that after he put the pole up, anybody got bit, they could look and live, and that's all it said. It don't give us no numbers. It's in numbers, by the way, but it doesn't give us any numbers. It doesn't give us numbers that nobody did that. So I'm just wondering, I'm thinking, as dumb as we can be sometimes, that if you got bit by the snake, they could look up there and live. And so he gave that illustration right there. You know, so there's the much more in death. But then the whosoever of verse 15 of John 15:3 says, whosoever. The whosoever of that, anybody could look, just like anybody could look at that serpent right there. And that God so loved the world. The world is cosmos. It means the universe, the whole world. And it's in both places. In John 3:16, it's the same both times. It said, for God so loved the world, cosmos, that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world, cosmos, to condemn the world, cosmos, but that the world, it's still cosmos, through him might be saved. It's the same word all the way around. It's got to mean the whole world that they had. It said might be saved, though. Notice it didn't go on to say would be saved. It said they might be. The opportunity that would be there that they could be saved. And it didn't say that they didn't go, that they were condemned because Jesus didn't die for them either. It said that they were condemned because they believed not. They did not believe, so the opportunity had to exist for them to be saved. But that's not the main point I want to talk to you about. I'm just saying it's the much more of death that they, you know, and we see that, we know that. And then there's condemnation. What are we being saved from? Well, besides ourself, which I'm going to talk about in the other point, besides ourself, we're being saved from the wrath of, you know, the wrath of God. Condemnation. There is a condemnation. There's a hell. That's a real place that you can be put to. And when God poured out his wrath upon Calvary, that was taking the place for those people that would put their faith and trust in him and what he did and be saved. But not everybody, not everybody. It said they might be saved, but not everybody was saved. And so, and will be, not everybody will be saved. So we see that. There's a faith there. We see that justification, we see reconciliation. And like I say, that's the much more of death. That's it. We understand that. But I wanted to get to this point right here. And I don't know if you ever noticed this or not. In verse 10, it says, Romans 5, it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, see, sometimes just off the top of your head, if somebody said, well, how are you saved? You might say, well, by the death of Jesus, or by the shed blood of Jesus. There it says that we're saved by his life, not his death. It said we're saved by his life. And that has to do with the resurrection. I understand it. It all goes together. You can't separate the thing out. But we're saved by Jesus' life. Saved by his life. And so you start thinking about that. How are we saved by his life? You know, we think about what eternal life is. What is eternal life? Well, you know, somebody said, well, you know, I'm just going to live forever. I'm going to live forever in heaven. That's it. That's eternal life. And I'm not going to go to hell. This is the shallowest of all. It's true. This is a truth. But it's a shallow viewpoint. That can't be the end of it. You're not just going to have eternal life. Well, listen, if you are saved, you got eternal life right now. You've got it today. I'm possessing that today. I understand it. And then I'm not going to go to hell because I've trusted Jesus and he's already took the wrath. So God doesn't have to give me his wrath my sin because Jesus took the wrath for him. But, you know, we think about this, you know, is eternal life, is it an inward feeling that we have? You know, it's not really that. It's eternal life is the quality of life you possess right now. It's the quality of life you possess right now, and I'll get a little more detail in just a second, this very moment. Well, where does the life come from? We're not saved eternally by his death. It says in verse 10, we're saved eternally by his life. His death was needed, though. 1 John 5:12 says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It was just a month or so ago. Man, I couldn't get that verse off my mind. I preached on that. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. And so eternal life, if you have eternal life, means that you have somebody. Huh? It's not a separate thing like you picture life, the definition of life. It's not just a life. No, you have, if you have eternal life, you have somebody. Amen. Jesus Christ. Amen. You're saved by his life. You're saved by his life. So if you have eternal life, you have Jesus Christ. He who hath the Son hath life. He who hath not the Son hath not life. And man, you have God himself is in the person of the Holy Spirit, which is also Jesus, because he's God, in living in you. This is eternal life, that you have Christ in you. That is eternal life. It's not separate. You cannot separate the eternal life from Jesus Christ himself. We are saved by his life. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I'm the life. You've got to have Christ the Son. So salvation is much more than a change of destination from hell to heaven. It's more than knowing that you are forgiven. It's being inhabited by your Creator, that you have the Son in your life. So what's the present reality? You ask yourself this question here. What is the present reality of your salvation? What is the reality? What do you see? What do we see? What does the world see? The initial act of faith accepts Christ for what he did. The process involves an attitude of faith that continues to enjoy all that Christ is, what he is, not what he did. See, because what he did almost seems separate. What he is, if he's in us, it's all one. It's all one thing. Jesus not only died for what you have done, he rose from the dead and to take the place, he rose from the dead to take the place of what you are. He took the place of what you are. This is getting into the depth of salvation, what it is. It's not just what he did outside, externally, for what you did. But he rose from the dead, life, to inhabit us, to take the place of what you are. What are you? Just an old sinner. We're just an old sinner. Just an old sinner saved by grace, hopefully. And if you're not an old sinner, you're an old sinner that's not saved. You're an old sinner that's not saved by grace. Huh? So this is what Jesus did. He's taken place. And that's our biggest enemy. It's ourself. It's not external. Listen, I don't get all that much grief outside. I get it in here from me, from my heart. You know, I've talked about that recently. I mean, you got to keep realizing that, realizing that. And so we see the much more of his salvation. But then there's the third point. This I want to talk a lot about, more about. The much more of his purpose. As I said, that's what I'm talking about on Wednesday night. I'm talking about your purpose. What do you wake up for? What's your purpose every morning when you wake up? Y'all got this on Wednesday if you're here. What's the purpose, huh? What's your purpose when you wake up every morning? That's what our purpose is supposed to be. I'm not asking you what it's supposed to be. I want to know what your purpose is when you wake up every day. Huh? Is your purpose to get up and go get a scrambled egg? Is your purpose to get up and go sit on the couch and watch Oprah Winfrey? Is your purpose, you know, to get on Facebook and post every time you pop a pimple that you're going to post on Facebook that you did that so everybody out here can know all about it? I mean, what is your purpose in life? I mean, what is your purpose? I mean, you got to get up every day. That's why I'm telling you, if you don't know, come on Wednesday night. I'll give you 10 reasons to get up and find out what your purpose is in life. But see, verse 11 says in our text, Romans said, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Jesus said in John 12:44, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. So what Jesus is saying, listen, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do when he walked? Listen, Jesus walked as a man. Think about this. Just think about this. He was God. He was truly God. He was deity top to bottom. But he was a man top to bottom, just like you and I. Huh? I told him up there yesterday when we were up there praying at the thing, and I used the passage where it talks about Elijah said he was a man of like passions as we are, and he prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again and it rained, and then the rain came, and he called fire down from heaven. Two times that I know of in the Bible, he called fire down from heaven. But he was a man just like you and I were. He what it meant like passion. He was no different than you and I. But he had power with God, buddy, because he knew how to pray. And I'm gonna tell you what, we have power with God. And when Jesus was walking on the earth as a man, he was fully man, just like you and I. Listen, he wasn't no different. He sweat. He got hungry. He got tired. He wept. Man, listen, I believe Jesus laughed. I believe he had joy. We're made in God's image, right? He had that. So here he was. He could have done a lot of things with his deity that he didn't do because he wanted to do it as a man. And what does the Bible say that he did? The Bible says that Jesus did nothing but what the will of the Father was. That's what he did. And what God was to Jesus, Jesus is to you and I that are saved. Huh? What are we to do? Man, he's living in us. And we're to do the exact things. What should we be doing with our life? The will of Jesus, who is doing the will of the Father. Everything that we're talking about with eternal life. Everything that God said, Jesus did. Everything that Jesus did, we do. Everything that Jesus says, we say. Everything that I am is what he is. That's what's supposed to be in our life. Jesus came to show a perfect manhood, to be the man that God always intended mankind to be, what man could have been. He came to restore man to our true humanity, our true function, to restore us to the life that's lost in Adam. This is this sanctification. This is a process where, like I said, what he is, Jesus is, what we do what Jesus is, or we are what Jesus is. We do what he does. We say what he says. Sanctification, that word means something being put to correct use. That's what sanctification means. Correct use. What's our correct use? Somebody said it a minute ago. Glorify God. How do we glorify God? Listen, by doing what... I was sharing this. Listen, man, here we are. This is the church. This is what the church looks like as a whole. I'm talking about the whole. This church is any church. I can preach this to every church in the world, any church in the world. We get saved and we come in here, and this is what our Christianity consists of. We might say a little mealy-mouth prayer every now and then at home and as we get out the door, and we might have a Bible sitting on the coffee table with a coffee cup sitting on top of it, and we come into church, maybe irregular, maybe even regular, and we sit down like a bunch of corpses. Man, I could go down to Ray Sloan and get people to fill the rest of the pews up. Wouldn't know a difference sometimes. And we have the people sitting on the pews, and this is it. And when we go out into this world right here, out into the world that we live in, then what is going on in your life then that has to do with what Jesus is, and that what Jesus says do, and what Jesus is doing? Does it reflect on anything? That's why the churches I was talking about, well, we need a youth leader. We need a youth leader. Well, all the churches, there's churches, they say, everywhere looking for youth leaders. I'm talking big churches, 175, 250 people. They're looking for youth leaders. And I told a church this morning in Sunday school class that they were going to get this again, so they are. You're telling me that God has saved 250 people, stuffed them into a church, and yet that God did not give anybody any gifts to do anything with, that we got to hire piano players from outside the church, we've got to hire youth leaders from outside the church. It's not the New Testament pattern. In the New Testament, they got saved. They were taught, they were trained, and they were raised up in a church, and then they served in that church. That's where they served. That's how it went. What was Corinth going to do? Where were they going to go? What Bible college were they going to go and look for the placement section, go up to the college? Well, what's your placement section? Do you have anybody here that works in the youth? Do you have anybody here that works in music? Do you have anybody that works with, that's going to do this and that? No! They raised them up. They got them right out of their church. That's where they got them. And that was the New Testament pattern. There wasn't another church in each city. There was only one Christian church. You know, look at us now, man. We got churches all over the place around here. They ain't got no pastors. Ain't got no. Ain't that a real educated sentence? That's my college education. They don't have any pastors. One church Damien went and preached to, how many they have, Damien? Five? Three? Three people! We're all watered down, we're filtered out. Man, we could take all them small churches. I said, why don't you just haul the bus down there and bring them here? Huh? Go down there and get a bus and let's bring them up and let's have a church. Man, we got a big pool of people. All these little churches scattered all over, no pastors. Man, God's not calling pastors anymore. God's not calling youth people anymore. God's not calling anybody to learn how to play the piano anymore. Apparently not. What is going on in our life? What is the life that what did Jesus do? The Father's will. What are you doing? He says to be doing Jesus' will. Oh, we do, but it's real cafeteria style. We like pick it out. Well, I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do that. Be faithful today, but not tomorrow. I'm going to, listen, I'm just giving you the truth. This is what it is. I can't sit up here and mollycoddle everybody and hold your hand and not step on your toes and don't hurt anybody's feelings and tell you something you don't want to hear, just because I'm afraid. Well, you know, I just can't, you know, it's just like my dog, man, I got a dog that's part pit bull, supposed to be all mean and ferocious. Good grief. One little rumble of thunder, and you got to go out there and sit in a chair and hold her paw, and because it's just whimpering like having a cow. Can't trim her toenails; she passes out and falls over dead. Can't do that. Can't give her a bath. It's World War III. My buddy Chili that came. Remember Chili? Oh, I'll give that dog a bath. I said, okay, let me get 911 pre-dialed in my phone right here. I'll give her a bath. He goes over here. Come here. I'm gonna give you a bath. Man, the boy, he jumped back. Not into that, huh? No, he ain't giving her a bath. I mean, this is a pit bull. You can't. And that's the thing with people. Listen, I can't do that. I've got to tell you the way it is. Why do churches shrivel up and die all over the country? Why is a church that had enough money, they had enough people to build a church down to three people? Because everybody sat there on the pews while people were drying and dropping off into hell. Their family died and dropped off into hell. They didn't have no care about it, no concern about it. And they're sitting there just hoping God was going to send somebody in there and fill up the pews. That's what they do. And what happened? They kept dropping off like flies, man, and they got down to where and then nobody can't do nothing. Everybody's got three categories in their life. They're too young to do anything for God. In middle age, they're too busy to do anything for God. And when they get older, too old to do anything for God. Huh? That's Jesus living in you? Huh? Man, he suffered, man. I mean, he did what God, he did. And I'm going to tell you, he said, listen, not my will, but thy will be done. He went to the cross. That was his life. He did nothing. He goes, I don't say anything that the Father doesn't say, want me to say, or that doesn't say through me. I don't do anything. Well, that's our relationship to Christ. We're not to do anything and say anything that Jesus doesn't say and do. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That is Christianity. That is it. That is it. It's not joining a club. It's not staying in your sin. He didn't save us to stay, keep us in our sin. He saved us out of it, out of our sin. That's Christianity right there. That sanctification process, something being put to its correct use. You know, we're all hillbillies, and we got a lot of stuff that's, we use it, but it's not in the correct use. You know, you get oddball nails for door hinges and baling wire for bolts, and, you know, we got all kind of things. You know, we're trying to get by. Well, that's kind of like how our Christianity's going on in life. Jesus' purpose on earth was to demonstrate and express the divine life. That's what he showed us. But he was Jesus. Yeah, but he was a human. He came as a man. He showed us how it could be done. He didn't use his divinity when he walked as a man, huh? Other than helping other people, but not himself. I mean, he healed some people and did some things. But as far as how he lived, how he resisted the devil, what did he use? Word of God, huh? What did he do as far as direction in life? Whatever the Father said. That's what he did. He didn't use his divinity to bypass that part of life. Only time was helping somebody else that couldn't be helped any other way. Jesus' purpose, like I said, was to demonstrate and express the divine light, to manifest God to us. Our purpose, to be the expression of Jesus Christ on earth. What the Father was to Jesus is what Jesus is to us, so that we do what he does and say what he says. Jesus didn't do his will. What's our big problem? Self. Because why is self? Because we want to do what we want to do. Well, I don't want to do it. Let's think about this. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. On one hand, in his humanity, because he said, Father, he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Now, in his divinity, he wanted to go to the cross because he wanted to pay for the sin. But in his humanity, he didn't want to go, and I understand it. And how many of the apostles, they didn't get to do what they wanted to do? They just didn't get to do what they wanted to do. I mean, man, they had to do other things. I mean, listen, they didn't want to get locked up and put in prison, but they did what they had to do and went through that. There was places even that they wanted to go and even do God's work. There was places they wanted to go. They wanted to go to Macedonia. I think Paul wanted to go to Macedonia way before he ever went. And I don't even know if he got there, but he didn't. He wanted to go, but the Holy Spirit said no. So he was even doing something in God's work. He couldn't do it. They got sent mostly to places they didn't want to get sent to. But it wasn't their will. It was God's will. And this is the whole Christian life. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. It's the much more of salvation that God intends for you and I. I told him in church, I'll give you another little thing. What we see missing in churches today, and I've said this over the years, time to time, no spiritual growth. Does have anything to do with how long you've been in church? It's how you eat. Huh? It's how you eat. And if a baby stays a baby, there's something wrong with them. And there's babes in Christ that have been in churches 10, 20, 15, 20 years, 25 years. They've been in church all that time. They are saved. I'm not saying they're not saved. They got the salvation part down. They know they're going to heaven. They know they're not going to hell. And they know that they've been forgiven. But yet there's no spiritual growth in their life. And what can God, and what do they do for God? Nothing, because they can't do nothing for God, because they haven't grown from the baby stage to anything else. And they can't be used by God. What can a baby do? What do you do with a baby? You got to change their diapers. You got to hold her hand. You got to hold them and feed them. You got to do all that. And that's what a lot of Christians have to have done for them. They can't do it themselves. They can't feed themselves. Huh? They can't feed themselves. They can't get the Word of God and exegete the Word of God. They can't do that. They don't know how to look and study the Word of God, and they can't grow. And then if they know it, then there's a not. You can get it in here and not have it out in your life experientially. What good is it? Huh? What good is it? Doesn't do it. I mean, if I knew how to play the piano, I'd play the piano. I don't know how to play the piano. But boy, what if I knew how to play the piano and I just wouldn't play it because I didn't want to, and we got to have a piano player. What about it? What would that, so that, what good would it do anybody? So if you know it and you're not doing anything with it, what good is it? God can't use you. God can't use you that way. And so it's the much more. There's much more to salvation than just being saved and just coming to church and hearing a little bit of preaching and knowing that you got a Bible and you knowing what some of the Bible verses says. Man, if you're not living it in your life, you're not being a witness for Christ. That early church, buddy, I mean, man, they'd get 5,000 people added in a day. Why? Because they had a dynamic preacher? Uh-uh. Because all the people were living the life, buddy. They was talking it. They were talking. They were out witnessing. They were telling. And it was seen in their life, the excitement, the joy that they had, the power of God on their life. They were out winning. And there was people like, and all of us, man, we can't bring anybody to Christ. We can't bring anybody to church. We can't get anybody saved. Have you ever led anybody to the Lord? Have you ever tried to lead anybody to the Lord? What a statement, right? What a statement. I ain't asking you to raise your hands. What a statement. To be saved and never tried to win somebody to Christ. And I know not everybody's going to get saved. Moses preached for 120 years and only 8 got it. 7, counting him, he was the 8th. Only 7. But how many have you tried? Listen, man, I mean, listen, this is our purpose. This is what our Christian life is. It's the will of God. It's the life of Christ living in us. He died for us, sure. He died to pay the penalty and to take the wrath. Huh? And there, but then he lives. He said that we're saved by his life, the life of Christ in you. And then there's the question, is it possible that you don't have the life of Christ? You don't get it. It's not just making a profession. Although it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, it says, but if thou believe in thine heart as well, it's a hard thing. It's not just because you're on church membership roll. It's not because you've been baptized. Huh? He who hath the Son hath life. Amen. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, that life's going to come out in reality. There's so much more to our salvation than avoiding condemnation and having a name and a home in heaven. Once we see what eternal life really is, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. And I know some things might sound like criticism. I'm not trying to criticize. I'm just telling you the reality. This is the reality. This is what it is. It is what it is. Listen, if you were going to do something and it was going to kill you, wouldn't we want me to tell you don't do it or try to get you not to do it? I got to tell you the truth, right? It wouldn't be, you know, don't step on that, don't touch that. I'm not criticizing. I'm helping you, trying to help you. And I'm just telling you, man, this is what we got to look at. I don't know if you're saved. I don't. I can't say you are or you're not. All I can say is this, like, if you have the Son, you have life. And if you have this life, it's going to be manifest. And what is the life of Jesus? He does the will of the Father. And if we have his life, what are we going to do? The will of Jesus. We're going to do, that's the reality. Is Christ's life in you right now? Right now. Being saved by his life. Let's all stand with their heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, heard some good testimonies and what you have done and what you do. And Lord, I pray for each one here today, Lord, that they think about this, Lord. The simple question, do they have the Son or not? Lord, are you a reality in their life or not? Let's make it real today. Lord, it's my prayer if somebody's here and Maybe they've made a profession, Lord. Maybe they've been baptized. Maybe they've joined the church, Lord, but they realize, you know what, my salvation's just in words only. It's not in a reality in my life. Lord, that's what I need. That's what I want. Lord, we pray for them today that you'll draw them here to the altar, Lord, and not let Satan talk them out of it. Lord, they'll come down and be saved today. I pray for your spirit now to move all over this invitation time, Lord, and just to speak to each one of us, Lord. Let's make it real. Lord, we need to deal with things, Lord. We need to come to you for forgiveness of sins with the idea of repentance, Lord. I know that you don't keep us in our sin when we're saved, Lord, and we need to deal with that. And, Lord, so I pray for that as well. Have your will and way now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.